Oh, it must be 9:40 on a Tuesday when we hear a little Christopher Cross. Welcome back to Sports Byline USA. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast, and also we are proudly around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. 9:40 on Tuesdays, we do a segment with our friends from SalesportsTalk.com, and co-hosting the segment, as she usually does, is Karen Lyle. Karen, how are you? Are you back from the BVI?
I am back from the British Virgin Islands and here on San Francisco Bay Area soil, or actually I'm on land, actually. Why am I on land? I should be on the water, right?
Absolutely. We're quite pleased to have a guest today. It is the CEO of the San Francisco Maritime Museum, Darlene Plumtree, and one of San Francisco's most visually striking and historically layered landmarks, takes center stage in a powerful documentary premiering on PBS locally here at KQED Channel 9, August 22nd, 23rd, and 30th. It's called A Balcony on the World and uncovers a long overlooked story of the Aquatic Park Bathhouse Building, which is now home to the SF Maritime Museum. Darlene, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit more about the transformation, because we know the Palace of Fine Arts, I mean, that thing went all the way down, and there's just a couple buildings left from that exhibition. What is the sort of story of the life of this building, please?
Well, thank you for having me today. It's really an interesting story. San Francisco Maritime Museum building was originally designed as a WPA project in the 1930s, and it was designed as a public bathhouse for, you know, people to come to the aquatic park for swimming, for rowing, for all kinds of outdoor water activities. It's built in the shape of a ship in this streamlined modern style. And it opened in 1939 and unfortunately had to close shortly thereafter because of the war, but reopened again in the late 40s. And later on in the 1950s became the Maritime Museum.
You know, Darlene, that time, 1939, was also the time of the Golden Gate International Exhibition and the opening of the two Bay Bridges. How did the opening of this building fit into that whole perspective?
Well, actually, Aquatic Park was the plan was based on Treasure Island. It was supposed to be an aquatic park for, like, aquacades, for pageants. There are two speaker towers at the park that were to be used for, narrating races and different water activities that were going to happen here in the park. But that never really happened. It wasn't open that long before it was taken over by the Army for a period of time.
Anyone who's been to Ghirardelli Square will look down towards the bay and see that very interesting building. And at what point did you guys take it over and turn it into the museum?
Well, it was the building was acquired in 1950 by our association founder, Carl Cordham. His vision was to start, he had an interesting vision. It was called Project X. And it involved a lot of influential people in San Francisco, including Alma Spreckles, who had collected a large amount of art from the Treasure Island Fair, and I guess ship models. And Carl Cordham had a little different idea. He wanted to collect the real ship models, the big ones, the real ships. So acquiring the park and the museum building was a combination of making a place for historic sailing vessels to be preserved and also to display maritime art.
Well, of course, I know of some of these sailing vessels, but we have an audience here of 100 million listeners in 168 countries, and when we also include our rebroadcasts on the American Forces Network as well. Can you tell us just highlight a few of the ships that are in that collection?
Yes, there's the C.A. Thayer, which was built in the 1890s. It's a lumber schooner. It was used to bring lumber back from the North Coast to help rebuild San Francisco after the 1906 earthquake. Really beautiful ship. We conduct our education programs on that vessel. And also the Valclutha, which was at one point, it was a cargo ship, and it also was later on used as a fishing vessel going up to Alaska. So some of the ships had several different life experiences. We also have the Alma, which is a scow schooner. Scow schooners were used to take cargo from a larger sailing vessel that was out in the bay. There wasn't enough wind to bring the ship back into port, so they would have the scows take merchandise and cargo from the ship to shore. They're small, flat boats. They also used to go up to Petaluma with hay bales and transport different kinds of probably lumber and other types of materials as well.
Could you help me out with one of the hardest words to ever say, Balclutha? But my whole life, I grew up here, and there's this beautiful tall sailing ship. What is the story behind, the history behind Balclutha?
Right. Well, I grew up here, too. My grandfather actually sailed on the Balclutha in the 1930s. But the story of that vessel, it was built in Scotland, and it would bring cargo over to San Francisco. It would come around the Horn. We have some amazing footage of that vessel sailing, going around the Horn. It's pretty rough sailing, and it had a lot ballast. You know, that some of the cobblestones that you would see here in the streets of San Francisco were ballast on those ships. It was a merchandise. It was a cargo transport vessel until, I think it was about the 1920s. It became the Star of Alaska, and it became a fishing vessel for the Alaska Packers. And then it was retired. It was interesting because in the 1950s, a husband and wife acquired it, and it became kind of an attraction as a pirate ship, which it wasn't a really great way to recognize the vessel. But we acquired it in the 1950s, and the Park Service has done an amazing job of restoring and maintaining the vessel.
Well, I know that you have sea chanties aboard the Balclutha from time to time. And I want to know, Darlene, do you sing in those sea chanties?
I have, but not as well as some of the other folks here.
And you stomp your foot at the right time.
Yes.
So tell us about John Rogers and why this film is deeply personal for him.
Okay. So John Rogers is a documentary filmmaker. He's worked on several important films. And his father took him here when he was young, a young boy, and he was impressed by it. And it's a tribute to his father, who was always interested in maritime. And I have to say that was my interest in the film as well, that my family spent so much time here in Aquatic Park during the 1940s, before the Army took it back. And also my grandfather sailing on that vessel kind of made it a personally interesting film for me to support John in that effort. I think we both had, personal motivation in it.
Well, I know my grandparents also were swam in the bathhouse, in 1939.
Uh-huh.
They came here in 1918 and 1929, my grandfather and grandmother respectively. So there was just that little short period of time.
Yeah.
But now you have people who are swimming from there over to Alcatraz in that cold, cold water. And I think the bathhouse is so much better. Any restoration of the bathhouse for the water part.
Well, in the park, we do have the South End Rowing Club, and we do have the Dolphin Club, the swimming club and the rowing club. They are always out here all the time, and without wetsuits, I might add. It's very cold. The water's about 55 degrees, I think, on a good day. But they have, you know, in recent years, people have become more enthusiastic about cold water swimming. And so we have lots of folks out here who have do it regularly every morning at 5 o'clock or 5:30. It's pretty amazing.
So for people who want to visit, what do you recommend? Like, where should we start? What should we hit?
Well, I would suggest, so we have a couple of attractions here. The museum building is definitely the place to go. It's got the most beautiful artwork. You know, the film that will be broadcast on KQED really gives a full explanation and detail. John did a beautiful job of filming in the museum building. There's, you know, experts who will give you incredible background on the artists that participated in creating the museum building. There's, you can see influences of really famous artists like Salvador Dali. Names you'll recognize like Benjamin Bufano. We have some Bufano sculptures in the museum building. There are a number of different aspects of the building that really, it's amazing. There were seven artists that created the building. The architect, William Mosier, was the grandson and son of the two architects who built the Cannery and Ghirardelli Square. So you have three generations of architects that created all these buildings right in the same, within a few blocks of each other. In the building that was formerly the Del Monte Canning Company is now the Argonaut Hotel. In the Argonaut Hotel is a visitor center, and that really gives a comprehensive, it's a little walk-through museum of kind of the history of this area and Fisherman's Wharf.
Everyone should check out A Balcony on the World, broadcasting here locally on KQED. Channel 9, that's our PBS station here in the Bay Area. Friday, August 22nd at 8, Saturday, August 23rd at 2 a.m., and Saturday, August 30th at 6 p.m. It was the Aquatic Park Bathhouse Building and now the San Francisco Maritime Museum, run by our guest, the CEO. It's Darlene Plumtree. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
And Karen, good to have you back. When are you leaving again? I'm sure you got something planned.
I'm going to be here for a whole month.
What are you going to go stir crazy?
I have to mention just about the swimming, because my sister swam to Alcatraz, and I took with me someone to the British Virgin Islands a couple years ago who was one of these swimmers, and he actually put his feet into ice-cold water in the BVI so he wouldn't lose his cold water. It's a cold water stuff, because in the BVI it's like 80 degrees, and here it's 55.
Yes, it is not fun. That's why no one is ever swimming here. All right, sailsportstalk.com for more information. Karen, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. We'll see you next week.
I am Rick Tittle, and we'll come back on Sports Byline USA.